Welcome to Series 11, Episode 6 of York Hospital Ball with Wembley double hero Ashley Chambers. Initially joining on loan from Leicester City in the 2010-11 season, Ashley quickly became a fan favourite and key player under Gary Mills. During his time at the club, he played a significant role in the club, gaining promotion back to the Football League, FA Trophy win, as well as scoring crucial goals and keeping the club up in 2013. Ashley had a knack of scoring memorable goals, and it is a pleasure to have him discuss his time at Bootham Crescent. This episode is sponsored by Tom Ibbett, a long-time York City fan who is also the lead volunteer at Westhorpe Scout Group. Westhorpe Scouts are a completely voluntary group who offer exciting opportunities to build skills for life for all young people aged between 4 and 18. They can be followed on Facebook, Instagram, or X at WT Scouts, or contacted via email on join@wtscouts.co.uk. That's join@wtscouts.co.uk if you would like to register interest in joining the fun. But without further ado, here is Ashley Chambers.
So Ashley, thank you so much for speaking to us on York Hospital Radio. You were pretty young when you joined York City, but you'd already achieved so much in your football career before then. For example, making your debut for Leicester City at 15 years old. And I believe you only found out on your lunch break at school. Just talk us through that chain of events, because it sounds like a crazy story.
Yeah, that's right. I was at school before that happened. I'd been involved in the reserve team, as it was then, at Leicester in the under-18s from about 14. And my form sort of carried on, and I was doing all right. And I was just at school one day, and I always used to go to my nana's house that was just around the corner to grab a quick bite to eat and say hello to her. And she said that I needed to ring my mum, which was obviously very odd because I never had to. I just ran in, ate something, and then ran out again back to my mates. But she was like, no, you need to ring your mum. And I was like, okay, no worries. So I gave her a call, and she's at work. And then she says, oh, you need to go to the game tonight. And I said, yeah, I know, I'm ball boy, I'm always ball boy sort of thing. And she said, no, you need to take your boots. I've spoken to John Rudkin, who's now the chief executive. He was the academy director at the time. And he said, you need to take your boots because you're in the squad. And I said, what do you mean? She said, you might play. I said, oh, right, okay. And my nana burst out in tears. My mum was crying on the phone and stuff like that. And then, yeah, I've just carried on about my day and gone back out to my mates and just said to them, oh, I think I might play tonight. And everyone was like, what? So yeah, the rest of the day was a bit of a blur. I go into the game and, yeah, I'm named on the bench. And unfortunately, the game didn't go as smoothly as the manager had hoped and I'd have hoped, I suppose, because I only got a few minutes at the end. But I think he would have chucked me on for a little bit longer. But no, it was a fantastic experience, and it's one that I cherish forever and obviously still in the history books at Leicester for it. So, yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, incredible. Did you get like a win bonus then for Leicester winning the match?
No, I got nothing. There was a little running joke. One of the players, Jason Wilcox, he said, he shouted across the dressing room, Ash, you'll be able to buy some new pencil cases with your win bonus. But I didn't actually receive anything, which, yeah, I'm still, I might have to tap them up and get that.
It's an unbelievable achievement, but is it something that you've kind of grown to appreciate more as you've got older? Because I imagine at 15, like you said, there was a bit of a blur and you went back to school, and I imagine you just kind of almost take it in your stride because you've got no other choice but to do that. But as you've got sort of towards the end of your career, you sort of looking back and thinking, wow, that's pretty incredible for someone at 15 to be playing at that level as well, such a high level of football.
Yeah, definitely. It's only been in the past few years that I've started to appreciate what actually happened sort of thing, and obviously seeing young kids now coming through and the ages that they are and the odd couple that are 15, 16 sort of thing, and having young children now myself, and the youngest is mad into his football and he's 9 at the moment, and to think, what, in another 6 years' time, and that was me playing against men. It's just absurd, really, to think about it. But yeah, at the time, it was just my naivety just led me through, really. I was just going to play football, and that's all I wanted to do. And obviously, I overly never asked to be thrust into that, but the people at the time thought I was good enough to do that. So I just rode the wave and enjoyed every second, I suppose, at the time. But yeah, the appreciation's definitely kicking in more and more now as I get a little bit older.
Yeah, and you also had a fantastic international career as well, playing for four different age categories for England, playing in the Victory Shield, which is quite a prestigious tournament. I remember watching that when I was growing up, and watching the likes of Michael Owen scoring loads of goals in that when he was a kid. And you scored against Wales as well and played against Aaron Ramsey. I mean, scoring for your country, again, must be up there with some of your best achievements.
Yeah, it was huge, actually. Again, it's another thing. As I've got older, I've appreciated more. Like you say, I played in the Victory Shield, but before that, I actually made my debut for the age group older, which were the under-17s at the time, and scored my first international goals for them, which was a hat-trick against the Faroe Islands. So, yeah, that was pretty good. So, yeah, I've had some really good moments, and playing for my country, albeit at youth team levels, is well up there, yeah, well up there.
And I imagine the same for the under-17s World Cup in South Korea that you went to as well. It must have been another amazing experience. You know, just playing in big stadiums as well, you know, the three lines on your shirt, the national anthem and all that sort of stuff. Do you keep, like you mentioned there, a hat-trick as well for England. Do you keep, like, have you still got the match ball of that? Have you still got all your caps that you collected?
Yeah, I've got everything. My mum's got a little place at her house for them. The shirt that scored the hat-trick in for England, like I say, in the for the under-17s, that's hanging up, and the match ball's still there, all signed from the players. The caps are all there. So, yeah, it's nice bits of memorabilia now to show my kids, to say that I was pretty good. So, yeah, it's really nice.
I imagine as well for your lad who's 9. I mean, if he's mad into football, being able to show him sort of England shirts that you've played in is pretty magical, isn't it? I mean, you clearly had a lot of highs, but experienced some lows as well, particularly with injuries. You know, I look back, sort of a fractured ankle, I think, and knee injury, which sort of curtailed your progress, I think, at Leicester. I know you've gone on to have a long and successful career in professional football, but do you ever think back to sort of what might have been if you'd not had those injuries at that time, and almost like a sliding doors moment?
Yeah, I do. Fractured ankle one's probably the one that was the one that threw me off the most, essentially. I got into the building full-time at Leicester when I was 16 and just left school, and I did my PCL, which is the uncommon one out of the cruciate ligaments, which is the back one. But that was, I was, yeah, 16. But then I'd got myself back fit and playing well, and I was like in the manager's plans with Nigel Pearson at the time, and Leicester had just been relegated to League One, and I'd had a really great pre-season. He really liked me. I was sort of about fourth choice striker probably, and I was 17, but I was the only one that had real pace at the time, and I think that's what he liked about me. And then the Monday before the first game of the season, on the Saturday, I fractured my ankle in training. It just sort of set me back quite a lot, really. And obviously a football club like Leicester trying to get back in the Championship, as it was at the time, and obviously time waits for no one, and it definitely wasn't going to wait for me. And I think after that I just never really recovered as such to get back to the level, as in to get in at Leicester. So yeah, if that never happened, who knows what might have happened. But like I say, I'm still proud of what I've achieved, but yeah, there's still the little itch that thinks what could have been, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's natural, isn't it? Like how you've told it there. After loan spells with Wickham and Grimsby, you joined York City on loan in 2010. I look back on sort of some articles from around that time, and it seemed like you had a few maybe subconscious sort of reservations about dropping into non-league at that time of your career. So I wondered, was it the sort of style of football that Gary Mills was trying to play that sort of swung it for you to come to Boven Crescent?
Well, yeah, I'd heard a lot about Gary and his style and stuff like that, and there was reservations. We just signed Michael Morrison at the time from Cambridge from the conference, and I had a good conversation with him about the level in the league and stuff like that. But the two loans that you mentioned at Wickham and Grimsby were horrendous for me, really. They just didn't pan out as well as I'd have hoped. And after the Grimsby loan, I was close to sort of saying I don't know if this is for me, because It just seemed like everything was going against me as such, and I just, no matter what I did, I just couldn't get into the side and stuff. And Grimsby were struggling at the time and did get relegated, but it just all built up on me, and I was a bit like, I don't know if I want this. But luckily, my eldest son, who's 13 now, he was just about to be born, and I thought, well, I can't just give up, not with a dependent about to come into the world and stuff like that. So I gave it another go, and when he was born, I was on a huge high, and I gave it another push. But obviously it wasn't to be at Leicester, and then York City came in, and I had the conversations with people, and I thought, yeah, why not? Let's give it a go. And Gary and York made me fall back in love with football again, most definitely. And I owe a great deal to Gary Mills for taking me and taking a chance on me. to get my career really started. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think York fans took to you pretty much straight away. I remember one of your first, I think it might have even been maybe your second goal for York was in the FA Cup second round at Darlington, which secured the York of the summer match at Bolton Wanderers. Possibly one of the coldest games of football I think I've ever been to. And I wondered whether whether you thought that as a player playing in it.
Yeah, well, there's not many times I've played with snow around the pitch. But yeah, that was one of, if not the coldest game I've ever been involved in. But the temperature seemed rose when we won and got into the third round, which was a great achievement for the club. And it was, it was just the start of a beautiful journey, really, of my York City career.
Did you mentioned there about Grimsby and Wickham and everything conspiring against you. Did you feel quite quickly at home at York then?
Yeah, I did. Well, I say I did. It was just odd when I came into the club, and obviously Gary put me into the team. And then it was always, whenever I got into the, I'd turn up obviously at Wickham and Grimsby, and I got into the team to start off with, because obviously I'd just been brought in on loan. And then sort of the next game you'd be taken out, and then after that I might have not been in squads, or I might have been only been getting on for 5 minutes. But when Gary kept playing me and showing faith in me, it gave me a lot of confidence. And then I really started to feel at home and think, yeah, I can hold my own at this level, and I can show people that I'm a decent player. So yeah, it took a little bit of time, but it wasn't too long, because it was easy to feel at home there. So
yeah, and I remember one of the games sort of towards the end of that season as well, that first season you were there, when you scored that curling effort against Wimbledon. We won 4-1. I know we missed out on the playoffs that season, but was it quite an easy decision when you're scoring goals like that and you're feeling the love of the fans? Or was it an easy decision to sort of sign permanently that summer?
It really was. It didn't take long for me to decide. And like I say, because he'd given me first sort of real opportunity of a run of games in men's football, just felt right to show the loyalty back, really, because that's the type of person that I feel that I am. And I was glad that I did, because, like I say, what happened after that was unbelievable. But it was just, it was just a really, really special 3 years or so, 3.5 years or whatever it was that I was up there. And it's a place that will forever hold a special place in my heart. So,
I mean, 2011-12 will go down as one of York City's best ever seasons. Everyone I've spoken to from my ear on the podcast sort of says they loved everything about it, from the training, the team spirit, the football on the pitch that you guys were playing. Sort of sum up your memory. What do you remember best about that time period?
I would probably say the team spirit, just the togetherness and everything like that. Even outside of football, we were friends. There was just everybody got on, everybody gelled. Obviously, if we weren't at training, then we'd be at the gym, but there'd be a big group of us, we'd all be doing stuff and things like that. And then outside of that, going for food and drinks and stuff like that, it was massive. And it was just a really great place to be at the time. And yeah, I loved it. And I think our running to get into the playoffs, because we weren't sort of dead set to get into the playoffs, but our team spirit, I think, definitely carried us through. And then that definitely pushed us through in the playoffs to see us up. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I look back on some of the games as well, like Luton at home when we won 3-0, and I think we were 3 up at half-time as well. Absolutely blew them away. And one of probably my favourite goals from yourself as well, where it sort of came onto your right, and then you took sort of like quite a heavy touch, but I think it was deliberate, and then to sort of bend it into the corner with your left foot. I mean, that, I imagine Gary sort of must have given you sort of license to be quite creative like that, because it wasn't like no one would think of kind of hitting it from there, from that position. You know, the probably easy option would have been to go backwards or try play it out wide.
Yeah, well, that goal, it just showed the level of confidence that I had at the time, really, and what the manager and the team had in me as well, because Gary was brilliant. He played the front three, and the majority of the time it was me, Jason and Matty, and he just used to tell us just to go where we wanted, but wherever we fell and we weren't in the right position, we'd just defend from there. So it gave us so much freedom and fluidity that we knew we could do whatever we wanted, really, to sort of try and affect the game and help the team. And yeah, that goal was just pure confidence. I look back at it and watch it and I think, what am I doing? But everything that I did was deliberate as such, but you have these moments as a footballer where it just goes blank and something just takes over and it just works. And that is, yeah, it's one of my favourite goals for York, definitely.
Was that instinctive then, or did you have an idea that that's what you were going to do for ball chemistry?
It was just pure instinct, really. It was obviously before the ball had got into me, it was a good passage to play, and Paddy was the last one to pass it to me, but I don't know, I just felt like it was coming across, and I thought, oh, I'm going to take a touch inside and hit this with my left. I felt like there was still some space for me to do that, and it just worked beautifully. And I can't really tell you why I chose to do it. It just happened. It was quite instinctive. So yeah.
Now, what must it have been like going into the dressing room again? Just sticking on that game where we're 3-0 up at half time against Luton, who obviously were the massive favourites to win that division as well. It must have just all felt sort of 10 feet tall at the time.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the first time. We'd done it throughout the season. We had this decent little run where we were going in at half time at 2-3-0 up, and the second half was not a dead rubber, but we knew the game was almost won, but we blew teams away in the first half because of our quality and stuff like that. But yeah, you go in and you do just feel so confident in the team and knowing that you won't give a goal away, because even though we wanted to score a lot of goals, the team spirit, like I spoke about with Inge and stuff like that, we wanted to keep a clean sheet for him, but as a team as well. So we took pride in a lot of things like that. So it was good.
Yeah, and to finish the season playing at Wembley twice in a week is pretty incredible, isn't it? I wondered, had you ever played at Wembley before? I just wondered, with your England links and things like that, had you ever had a chance to play?
No, never had a chance to play there. So it was, it was a really special occasion, even just to do it once, because there's players that will go through their career and never get the chance to do it, and high-level players as well. So for us to do it twice in a week was unbelievable. But yeah, the first occasion was magical, just everything you'd expect it to be, and just brilliant. And the outcome was perfect. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and then the Newport game to start with, again, it's great doing this podcast because it gives me an excuse to go back and watch games and highlights and stuff. And the Newport game, I think the goal you set it up for Lanray. The passing move for that goal was just incredible. It was so many players in the team managed to get on the ball and knocking it about, and then in a split second it sort of goes from passing it around midfield to just literally being in on goal, and it was a great sort of team goal, and that almost epitomised kind of the team itself, wasn't it? But the fact that you all were kind of unselfish players and wanted to set other people up, and there wasn't really any sort of selfish characters in that team.
There wasn't. I think if you look back at the stats, obviously Blairy ran away with the sort of golden boot throughout the team, but Jason wasn't far behind. I got into double figures. I think Reedy got into double figures. The goals were really, really spread out. That was epitomised the team, really, because there was no selfishness in it. There was no egos. Everyone was just pulling in the same direction for the same goal. But yeah, going back to that goal, it summed us up for that season, I would say, of how we'd tried to play, how we wanted to play, and the majority of the time that we did. But yeah, it was a great goal, and I love watching that one back because, like you say, I'm heavily involved, and it's sort of a different side to me that people wouldn't overly expect, of sort of dictating the play and then, like you say, just bursting through to get us going. But yeah, I really enjoy that one.
Yeah. And we all really enjoyed the final against Luton. But after a minute, obviously, we're one down, and I remember Michael Ingham saying to me that the team never, ever panicked going behind. And it was almost like everything was controlled. The team had gone behind before and knew that they had it in them to sort of come back. But to do that on the biggest stage as well, and for you, obviously, to get the equaliser, kind of epitomised what Michael was saying, because it was quite a controlled finish, wasn't it, yours? Like, many players would have run onto that and, you know, miskicked it off, spooned it over the bar or whatever, but you kind of, what are you thinking in that moment when it's come across? Because it's a big thing, isn't it, to score, to every boy's dream to score at Wembley.
Yeah, it is. When it comes across, my position was to hold the edge of the area in case, obviously, anything drops out like that, or to sort of help if they go on the break and stuff like that. But I remember Chris Smith had it at the back, sort of on the left-hand side of the goal, and I've sort of took a position up thinking, he can't cross it that well here, but it's going to come in and around this area. And the defender against me switched off, and luckily it bounced to me, and my eyes just lit up. But I just had this complete calmness over me, just to think, and I just want to strike this as cleanly as possible. And I think it is probably one of the best, cleanest strikes I've ever hit. And luckily it was at a time and a place that was perfect for it. And yeah, I think about that goal a lot. Over the years, every week at least, I'll remember it, because you just never forget it. And it was just such a surreal moment, and one I'm really proud of, yes.
And did you have family that had sort of travelled up to watch the game there as well? And what's the feeling like to score at Wembley?
Just pure euphoria. The Newport game I had, I think it was about 20 to 25 people came down, including like family and friends. And then to the Luton game, I had about 10. Also, but then that was just obviously close family and stuff. But yeah, for my parents, Nana, my wife, Nat, who was there now, she for all them to see it and see me do it on the biggest stage was, yeah, just unbelievable.
Was that your nan that told you about the Leicester?
Yes. Yeah. So she was my biggest fan. She used to pay me £1 a goal when I was a youngster, and she carried on the whole way through my career. But I actually got £5 for that one, so that was a bit more of a special one. So yeah, she rolled it out.
Goal bonus. I mean, to go on and win two wins at Wembley in a week again. It must be something. Again, like I mentioned earlier about your kind of Leicester career, you must appreciate it even more as you get old. Like you said, like so many players go through the career and never get a chance to play at Wembley. You've played there twice in a week and scored in one of them. It must be something you really kind of cherish now, looking back.
Yeah, massively. Obviously, still playing the trophy now. Obviously, still being in non-league, and to think that I've won it is just crazy. And to have played at Wembley, like you say, twice as well, it's hard to explain. But yeah, the appreciation has definitely come more and more over the years, because at the time you're just in it, you're just enjoying it, and it just becomes almost not normal, but it's just a part of the next thing you have to do. But then you get to take a step back and, like you say, just really sit down and think what you've actually done is amazing. So yeah,
what did it mean to you to be back in the Football League? Is that a big thing for a player, and also for you having those reservations about initially joining York? Was it a kind of vindication that you'd made the right decision to come to York and get promoted the way that you did?
It was a big thing for me, because obviously I had some Football League appearances before I joined York, but I never felt like I'd had a real good crack at it. And I felt when we got promoted at York, it was my chance to have a good go at it and see if my level was up to that. So yeah, it was really special. And like you say, the fact that I decided to join and in the summer and bits like that, it just showed that it was a perfect choice for me.
Yeah. And the team started off really well, didn't they, the following year in the Football League. And you scored probably one of my favourite goals you'd ever scored away at Bradford City. I was messaging you about this yesterday, wasn't I? Yeah. I mean, it was such a great side foot volley into the top corner. Where does that goal rank for you in terms of all your career?
Well, when you messaged me, actually, I was going to reply, but I thought I'd save it. But yeah, that is my number one goal of my career. I think for the place it was, obviously, I think there was about 12,000 or 13,000 there, maybe a few more. But obviously, there was a lot of York fans there. But yeah, the goal itself is just, I've scored a handful, maybe less than that, of goals outside of the box, and that is just, again, another instinctive thing that happened, and it just perfectly sailed in. And I love watching that one back as well. It was a really, really nice one. That
the season changed after Christmas, didn't it, and the team went on that really bad run, and incredibly Gary Mills was sacked just 8 months after Wembley twice. Although we were on a horrendous run at the time, was it still a shock to you as players, and how did you find out about it?
Yeah, a little bit, because like I say, because Gary had given me my chance in the men's game and bits like that, it hurt a little bit, because you almost feel like you've let him down a little bit, and you start obviously questioning your performances and bits like that that have got him into that position, sort of thing. But I don't know what happened in the sense of results wise and why it just almost stopped working, I say, because we was trying our hardest for the football club and for him to get results. But it was just one of them things where the rubber, the green had almost ran out for us at that time. And it was just sad, really. But it was nice that we did end up staying up, but it was just unfortunate that it panned out the way it did, with obviously Gary having to leave. So yeah.
Yeah, and because Nigel Worthington came in, a real contrasting style, wasn't he, to Gary? But you played a really key role in helping keep the club up. You know, you got really sort of significant goals against Northampton and Plymouth in the run-in. What was your relationship like with Nigel?
Yeah, it was okay. He came in at a time when his hands were tired a little bit, and he did bring in a few players, but he sort of had to deal with what he had already. And he took a decent liking to me. Like you say, I helped the team and scored a few important goals and felt that my performances weren't too bad. But obviously, once we'd stayed up and the next season came around and he could really get his team in, then unfortunately, I sort of wasn't in his plans. But no, the relationship was okay. And like I say, I respect everything he's done in the game. He's had a great career, and he had that season he went on and had, obviously, York's highest finish for a very long time. So yeah, it was sad how it ended, but no, me and Nigel get on okay, yeah.
Yeah, because you finished the season as top scorer, I think, with 10 goals. I mean, that was a good return for someone who wasn't, you know, an out-and-out striker at the time. You know, you played a few different positions for York. But did you set out with any goal targets before every season? You know, I know different players, you know, some players are different, aren't they?
Yeah, my goal target was always to try and hit double figures. I think in the first promotion season, my target was to get double figures in goals and assists, because I knew that I was playing from a wide area. I wasn't an out-and-out striker, but I knew I needed to chip in with goals and I needed to set up goals, obviously, and I managed to achieve that. And then again, the next season in the Football League was just to try the same again, because to be chipping in with double figures from a wide area is pretty good going. And I was happy that I managed to do that. And I was happy that it was enough to help the team to keep us up.
And quite a lot of that promotion side sort of suddenly moved on, didn't it? But you stayed. And like you mentioned there, you know, you dropped out the side once Nigel brought some of his own players in. Do you regret staying that third season as it was?
No, I don't, because I was contracted to the football club. I was under the illusion that I was in and around the plans, but obviously then it came to around Christmas time and I'm sure I missed out on quite a few squads and bits like that and not playing. And then it came around to January and the manager just came to me and said, you're sort of free to go elsewhere. So yeah, it was just the way that it panned out. And obviously with the form of the lads that came in and the players that he brought in was good. So it was just part and parcel of football, really, which is the sad side of it, because obviously the love story that I had with York had gone on for a lot longer before him. But that's just how it goes. Obviously, football is all about opinion and you can't meet everyone's opinion. So sad how it ended, but I was glad that it happened, really.
Yeah, and you moved on to Cambridge where you secured another promotion on your CV. And I think your first goal you scored for them was against Luton, which I thought was quite ironic, really. Did you have sort of teams that you always seem to have a good record against? Because, in fact, to be fair, you ended up having a good record against York as well later on.
Yeah, well, to be fair, Luton was the team that I always seem to have a good game against, be it at their place or at our place. Yeah, obviously went on to Cambridge and my first game there was against Luton in the trophy, actually. And yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about that club, but I always seemed to do all right and scored in the first leg and we drew and then we went to their place and won 1-0 and I scored there again. So it's just, yeah, I wish maybe I could play Luton every week, well, apart from now, probably, because they're a bit good now, aren't they? So.
Yeah, we'll whisper that quietly. But yeah, like I mentioned, you secured promotion again. Playoff final was at Wembley, wasn't it, against Gary Mills' Gateshead. So that must have been quite a surreal kind of game for you to sort of be involved in. But I think you were sub not used that day, weren't you? That must have been hard knowing what you'd kind of done before for York.
Yeah, well, my time at Cambridge was a bit strange, because I went in for a month and then I picked up a bruised foot injury, which I struggled to get rid of. And then the manager sort of said that I wasn't going to play, so I can go out on loan. And I ended up going out on loan to Dagenham and Redbridge, which they were in League Two at the time. So I went there for a month to get fit and play some games, and I really enjoyed it. And to be honest, I was hoping that I was going to stay there for the rest of the season, but then the manager decided that all of the loan players that needed to come back to help them push for promotion. And so I went back and sort of played sporadically. And then, yeah, like you say, the playoff final, I was on the bench, but sub not used. So it was a stranger feeling, and it's a promotion that I played my part in and scored some goals to help them get there, but it's not one that I've got as much affiliation with as the York story. So still proud of it, but yeah, it was just a different sort of side.
And you mentioned there Dagenham and Redbridge. I was going to come on to them because, you know, like you mentioned there, they played in the Football League and you played alongside sort of Jamie Curtin as well, didn't you? Who I remember, like, literally when I was a kid, he seemed to have played for years and years and years. And also a few other things I picked up as well. You played against Everton at Goodison Park in the FA Cup, which would have been a good experience. And I also saw possibly one of the greatest goals you've ever scored, but it was disallowed. I think Christian Deutsch laid it off to you and you just bent it into the top corner. That must have been... Again, we mentioned about regrets of that injury at Leicester, but that must be a regret as well, that got disallowed, because it was a hell of a goal.
Yeah, it was. I still think about that one all the time. And I've seen it a few times back, and one of our lads makes a little foul before it. But again, that was just another instinctive strike. But that was one where I woke up and then gone, why did I even try that? But it was, if that had gone in, that probably would have topped the Bradford goal just a tiny bit. But yeah, that is one of my regrets in football, that being disallowed.
Sounds like you had a good time at Dagenham, though. I know they ultimately got relegated in your last season there, but looks like you made a lot of friends there and a lot of memories.
Yeah, definitely. It was a good place, and it's a club that knows what it is. And obviously they did get relegated, which was unfortunate. They work by what they've got, and They churn out players, and if you see a lot of players that have come through around the sort of London area, a lot of them have maybe played at the club, so they've got a good track record of things like that. And no, I enjoyed my time down there. Obviously, a different lifestyle to being up in York and stuff like that in Cambridge. But no, it was one that I enjoyed. Obviously, didn't enjoy the relegation, but it was a decent time. Yeah, I made some good friends.
And you dropped after sort of spell back at Grimsby. You dropped back into the non-league and really prolific spells with Nuneaton and Kidderminster Harriers as well. But these were clubs, obviously, a little bit closer to you to where you grew up. Was that sort of you settling back sort of to be closer to family then, and that brought out the best of you?
Yeah, it was, to be honest. Once the Grimsby, I went in with Chris Doig and Paul Hurr and had a great start to the season, and then I had a freak sort of injury where I stood slashed across my thigh and split it open, so I had to have that restitched and stuff like that, and put me out for about a month or so. But in that time, Hurst left to go to Shrewsbury, so the manager changed over, which was a manager that I'd spoke to. He was at a different club at the time, and he was trying to sign me. So I thought, oh, I should be okay here, sort of thing. Like he obviously quite likes me and stuff like that. But came in and just sort of completely disregarded me and didn't. I didn't get anywhere near any of the squad sort of thing as such, because he brought in his own players, and he just said, oh, you're free to leave on loan if you want to go and get some games. And Nuneaton came in. There was a friend of mine who I'd been with at the Leicester Academy. He was in charge, and I just thought, yeah, I just want to be at home. I just want to be near my family every day and see my kids, because they'd suffered sort of over the years, because when we come back from York, we did settle in back in Leicester, but I was just travelling to and from football every day or staying over in bits like that, so I was missing out on the kids and stuff like that and helping out my wife with the kids and whatnot. So yeah, that was just a decision just to be closer to home, and I think it showed in the end, because it showed that I was settled and happy, because I scored a few goals and I was really enjoying my football. So yeah.
And he signed for Buxton in 2021 and won the Northern Premier League, scoring 14 goals in all competitions, and again another promotion on your CV. Quite a few York City links in that team as well, weren't there? Like Sean Newton and Lyndon Meikle played for York as well for a bit.
Yeah,
that looks like it was. I know you're only there a season, but it must have been good to, you know, be champions of a division, and whoever comes champions of any division, I imagine there's a lot of, you know, good team spirit and all that sort of thing that goes with it.
Yeah, it was a great year. It really was. Like you say, there was a lot of people there that I knew. I had a friend there that I played with at Nuneaton, and he was trying to get me there for a couple of seasons, and I finally gave in that season, and he put together a really good squad of sort of ex-pros and young lads that were hungry but had real talent. And yeah, we did really well that year, and it was a great time. It was one that I knew that, like you said, about being a champion and stuff like that, I'd never done that. I've obviously got a couple of promotions, but never been champion. And that was the one burning desire, really, joining the football club, knowing that we'd have a real shot at that. And I was thankful that it came to fruition in the end. So yeah, it was a good time.
And then you moved on to your current club, Colville Town, who I vaguely remember York City playing him in an FA Trophy game a few years ago. He had a fantastic season last season, with 28 goals, including 6-6 in the FA Cup. A couple of standout kind of ties at Notts County away, 3-2. I mean, Notts County had an unbelievable season themselves last season. So for you to score there in a 3-2 win must have been like being back in your kind of old York City career, really, playing at stadiums like that and being a key part again.
Yeah, I loved it last year. It was great. Obviously, the Notts County game, and we had the Chesterfield game as well, which was in the FA Trophy. And them games come around now, and like you were saying earlier about sort of appreciating stuff more, I go into them games now being more appreciative of them, and I enjoy them as well, because it's, even at the age that I'm at, it still gives me a yardstick to sort of go, am I still capable of playing at this level, sort of thing. And obviously scoring against Chesterfield, Notts County, Charlton, it sort of answered those questions for me to say, well, yeah, you still not fell off quite yet. So it was nice. I really enjoyed it last year. It was a great season, and obviously didn't pan out as we'd have hoped, but that was just unfortunate in football.
Yeah, and the Charlton goal you scored, I can't remember what score it was you lost on the day, but But to score at that end with all the Colville fans behind the goal, and again, it was a great goal, wasn't it? It was quite an instinctive sort of lob over the keeper, wasn't it? And,
yeah,
you know, again, it must give you a great feeling, because I remember Charlton being in the Premier League for years and years, so it must have almost felt like scoring at a Premier League ground, didn't it?
It did, and look, I've got the memories of Charlton being in the Premier League as well, so going to the stadium and seeing it and the history of it, it's still got that old school feel to it, and it looks exactly the same as it did really when it was in the Premier League. But it was, yeah, it was great. And to score at the end where all our fans were was just unbelievable. It was a really great day, and obviously that those days don't come around too often now, so I was really, really appreciative of that and took in every moment of it. So yeah, really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, and I read an interview that you did around that time, saying that you'd sort of become the journeyman footballer you never wanted to become, and it was quite a, I wouldn't say an emotional story, but a kind of really brutally honest sort of chat about your career. And what is that like, being like that? Is it just football that you mentioned there about Grimsby? It must be so frustrating when you sign on certain pretenses and think things are going well, and then, you know, within a week is a long time in football, isn't it? And things can just change so quickly. It must be a really difficult career at times to kind of know that you're maybe not wanted, and then having to find the next place to go, because they're all short-term contracts as well, aren't they? You've not got that long-term security.
They are. The longest contract I ever signed was when I was 16, and that was for 3 years. After that, it's just been sort of 2 years, and obviously as they get older now, it's sort of just year to year. But yeah, I meant what I said when I said that I'd become the journeyman I never wanted to, because to be completely honest, I would have never have left York City, to be honest, because family loved it up there. I loved it up there. We were really, really settled. My eldest was set to go to school in the September that I left that year. That I left York City. We'd signed him into school and stuff like that. My youngest would have been born up there. But yeah, like you say, football changes really quickly. And then it just happens that you go somewhere and you think it's good and you're settled, but then it changes again and you're sort of just trying to find a home, really. So yeah, it can be difficult, and that's the ugly side of it, I suppose, at lower league, that the stability is not always there, and trying to find that is difficult. But no, I think I've enjoyed it, but it's been a roller coaster, to say the least. Yeah.
And I just wonder what your plans were sort of now that you know you're closer to the end of your career than you are the start of it. But aside from that knee injury you mentioned at the start, you haven't had many injuries over your career. I look at your sort of seasons that you've played. You play a lot of games every year. You must think you're over 500 career appearances now as well. Is your plan to sort of carry on and play as long as you can?
Yeah, it is, to be honest, because you're a longer time retired, and that's the big cliche of it, but it's starting to resonate a lot more with me now, because you sort of understand it, that it's not going to last forever, but you want to keep going for as long as you can. And I'll keep trying until sort of, I don't want to embarrass myself, and I think that I know my body well enough to know that it's not giving what I need it to, and I'm not helping the team or anything like that. But whilst I'm still contributing and helping, I'll still keep trying. So no, I'm still enjoying it, and the day that I don't, it will be the day that I'll stop, I think. So yeah.
And you mentioned before about you'd never have ever left York City. You know, look at people like Paddy and Lanray and people like that who've ended up coming back to York. Was there ever any time in your career that you've ever had been close to re-signing for York?
There was a couple of occasions. One was really close, and that was just before I joined Kidderminster. We couldn't quite agree on details, but pretty much. So yeah, that was the closest that I got to signing back. It was one of them. It's do you go back and sort of maybe tarnish the memories, or do you go back and try and help? But it was just unfortunate that it just didn't quite pan out, and I didn't end up back in the York City shirt. But yeah, it was close at one point.
Yeah, imagine sort of heart ruling head and that sort of thing, and a big dilemma, isn't it? And just final question from me is sort of, now you're coming towards the end of your career, and you said you can look back on things. Who's the best player that you've ever played with and against in your career?
I've played with some good ones, obviously, at England and stuff like that. Well, they've gone on to have good careers now. I'd say at club level, it would probably be Andre Boucard. He was very good, very, very good. He made me appreciate the football a lot more. Obviously, when I first joined the club, I was very quick, very erratic. Didn't always have control over the football, but he showed me the side of the game where you need to still appreciate the football as well as run fast and think about the game. And no, he was great, and he was great for our team as well. He was a big, big, big part of why and how we passed the football. So yeah, he was probably one of the best that I've played with. And then play against, we go back to the under-17s World Cup. And yes, we were only 17, but Toni Kroos was on another planet. It's someone that I've never seen the likes of since. He was always in 3 yards of space, never moved very fast, but it was just baffling to how he created it. But that's just how his brain is and how he works. And he shows it now, even at the highest levels, and it's no surprise because he was special as a youngster as well. So yeah, that was the best one I've come up against.
He's a good one to claim, isn't he, to play against?
I suppose it is.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for giving up your time to speak to us. I've really enjoyed hearing your insight on New York City career and your career in general. I hope you've enjoyed going back over your memories.
No, I have. Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Huge thank you to Ashley Chambers there for speaking to us. And I believe he turned 34 the other day, so belated happy birthday to him. And I do also believe that Colville Town are still in the FA Trophy, so who knows, maybe another Wembley chapter in Ashley Chambers' career before he finishes. So, good luck to him and Colville Town the rest of the season. Also, massive thank you to Tom Hibbert for sponsoring this episode, and again for you listeners for, you know, all the positivity you've given this new series. It takes a long time to put episodes together, and, you know, it's always worth it hearing what people think about them. And also people who, I did do a bit of a plea last time about donations. We'd not had any up until last time, and I think we've had 3 in the last week. So big thank you to those people who have given some of their hard-earned cash to York Hospital Radio. We are a charity. We're in our 60th year this year, which is a great effort for the charity and all the volunteers that do some great work for us. And yeah, if you want to donate, it's justgiving.com/York Hospital Radio. Any donation, literally, doesn't matter if it's big or small, always gratefully received. Once again, you know, other pleas, you know, if you can leave us a review, if you can give us a rating on Spotify, that sort of thing, just keep spreading the word. That'd be much appreciated. Next week, our guest is going to be Pete Jameson, which was an interview I really didn't... I often start off with a bit of a wish list before I start the series, and there's ones that I think I'm fairly confident of getting, and then there's others that are a little bit like, bucket list, or, you know, I don't think they're going to happen, and Pete Jameson fit into that category. And then... from literally a little cheeky request to him on one day resulted in us recording the episode by the following day. And yeah, I think people really enjoy it. He speaks really openly about why he left the club and how much he actually loved his time at York City. And I think it's one of the ones I'm most pleased with this series. So yeah, hopefully you'll join us next week for that one. Thank you.